All right, y'all excited now, y'all. Y'all want to see something burn up. Now, I'm not out to be mean. That's not what I'm out to do. But if you're antagonistic about what I'm preaching, if you don't like what I'm preaching, that's, you don't have to come back. It's just as simple as that. Just don't come back. Don't come in here and criticize me. Say amen to that. See, what you'll find is if you're doing right, people will criticize you. If you're doing wrong, people will criticize you. It doesn't make any difference. Okay. So go criticize somewhere else. I'm going to start reading, verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith. Oh, wait a minute. Wrong one. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with them, him, we that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made, ooh, my Lord. When I burn that up, whatever's been tormenting you just got burned up. When I burn that up, that's what he just told me. Just got burned up. Take a seat. Verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but... verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Manifesting as sons of God. That's where we are right now. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. So the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the Son of God. We're talking about possessing our inheritance, and the subtopic is manifesting the sons of God. Manifesting the sons of God. All right, we've been talking about this, and what we said is we talked about the maturity that the saints should have, that the church had been going through somewhat of an identity crisis. And what we looked at is we looked at one that we have been talking about, Jesus, on the boat going with the disciples over to the other side. And as they were going to the other side, then there arose a wind and a storm, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Now we said waves beating into the ship have to do with actual thoughts that would be coming against us, that the enemy is shooting out something called fiery darts. And those thoughts come and they try to bombard your mind. They're like waves. They beat over and over and over again. I don't know whether you've had this before, but something been on your mind and you go to bed and you can't hardly sleep. It's just beating over and over and over again. That's the way the enemy works. The Holy Spirit doesn't work that way. He'll come to you one time and you shoo him away. He's like a dove, flies off, and then he'll come and maybe prompt you another time. No, fly off, don't want it, and so forth. But the enemy will try to drive you, okay? And so now here they were. They woke up Jesus. He was asleep because he was walking by faith, and faith is a rest. And so as he was asleep, they woke him up and accused him. They said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he got up. He rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace be still, and there was a great storm, and there was a great calm. And so now, as this had calmed down, he turned to them and looked at them and said, Why is it that you are so fearful? Why is it that you are so fearful? And what we said is, whatever you fear will become your master. Whatever you fear will become your master. And that's why the scriptures tell us to fear not, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power, come on, and love, and of a sound mind. And a lot of times people fear because they don't have enough knowledge. They don't have enough knowledge, and they go into zones that they, for some reason, feel inadequate, and fear tries to come in. And one of the things that we said is the remedy for fear is the presence of the Lord, is the presence of God, which drives out fear. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. So as God is with you, you will find that fear will have to depart, because both fear and God cannot dwell in the same place. So now, as we look at this, they had, he said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And what we said is that the enemy is after our faith. He's not after us, because he knows without faith we can't overcome. And so he's after our faith to separate us from believing God. And then the next thing that happened, they looked at him and said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, what we said here is that God is bringing us into a season of impossibilities, a season of impossibilities, that what was impossible before is no longer going to be impossible. And if you look here and look at Mark's gospel in Mark chapter 10, please. Mark chapter 10. Let me know when you get there. Mark chapter 10. And Mark chapter 10, look at verse 26 and 27. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus looking upon them saying, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, what happened? What? All things are possible. So now we're moving into this realm where all things are possible. Now I want to move to Mark chapter 5, but before that, let's go over, if you will, to Deuteronomy and chapter 7. Deuteronomy and chapter 7. Deuteronomy and chapter 7. All right, if you have it, say praise the Lord. Verse 1, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land, whether thou goest to possess it. Now we're talking about possessing our inheritance, so this is for us to possess it. And hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. Now underline that. Nations greater and mightier than thou. One more time, underline that. Nations greater and mightier than thou. Now, when that is said, it's said, obviously, that these nations are going to be mightier than those people, than the children of Israel. However, here is God now. He's bringing them into a battle that in the natural, they cannot win. God is taking you into places that you, in your natural ability, cannot win. He's taking you to mountains that you can't move. And guess what? He's taking you to property you can't afford. But with God, come on, all things are possible. All right, so verse 2, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt what? Smite them and utterly do what to them? Destroy them. So it's interesting how God brings out the fact that they're going to be mightier than you are. However, when I bring you into their presence, I'm going to have you to destroy them. So God is using you to take the enemy or put this earth back under subjection. And so what we said, we went through three people We went through the natural man. The natural man is the unsaved person. That person is motivated by demons. And that we found that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And human reason, sense knowledge, and experimentation and trial and error are the way that they live. And that is not sufficient if you want to get victory in this earth. Now, it's interesting how in John's Gospel chapter 8, you don't need to turn, well, you better turn there. John's Gospel chapter 8, and I want to read a scripture to you. John's Gospel chapter 8. John's Gospel chapter 8. John's Gospel chapter 8. Let me know when you get there. All right, look at verse 44. You are of your father, the devil. This is Jesus talking to the religious people. And the lust of your father you will what? Do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there was no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, come on, and the father of it. So Satan is a liar, and he is the father of liars. So now Jesus is telling some people here, your father is the devil. And some people don't realize that when they're looking at, they've had this expression called the fatherhood of men and the fatherhood. The fatherhood, glory to God, the fatherhood, hold it, I had it down here somewhere, praise God, Lord. Well, anyway, the fatherhood of, oh my goodness, I reshuffled my papers in the back, but that's all right, hey. The brotherhood of men and the fatherhood of God, the brotherhood, meaning that all men are brothers. Okay? Well, now, that may be in the intellectual realm, but in the spirit realm, they are not. Because I showed you three divisions: Jew, Gentile, church. Didn't I? All right? Now, my point to you is that I come from the father, my spiritual father, my father. I was born from him. I am his offspring. You got what I'm saying? Now, just because a person is in the earth doesn't make them my spiritual brother. Got it? If that were the case, Paul would not have brought out, be not unequally yoked together, come on, with unbelievers. Are you following what I'm saying? My point to you is they were yoked together, and he's saying that what fellowship has light with darkness? Are you following what I'm saying? Or the believer with an unbeliever? What fellowship is the Son of God with Satan? Now, meaning that, hey, we come from different fathers. So even if I'm going to get married, he doesn't want me to marry an unsaved person. Now, if we were brothers and sisters, that shouldn't be any problem. But we don't have the same nature. Y'all stay with me now. I'm talking. We don't have the same nature. Now, I'm going to bring all this out because the devil's trying to erase the line. I'm going to draw the line back. See? Lord have mercy. If you're married to an unsaved person, you're already married, pray for them. The Bible talks about guidelines for praying for an unsaved spouse so that your spouse would see Christ. Say amen to that. Now, if you're not, understand that if it's an unsaved person, then that person's father is the devil. Hey, it is what it is, folks. Now, I'm not trying to make a too strong a point out of this, but I want you to see this because this is this is some of how the church has lost its identity. See, we have gone into the world and tried to get along, and many times begin to compromise so much until now the line is blurred as to who we are. Now, I'm not saying anybody be mean. I'm not saying anything because God is sending you into that world. And he said, love thy brother. You know what I'm saying? But my point to you is that when we go in there, like Daniel, I read you, Daniel, three names. I read you where they renamed the Hebrews because they were trying to integrate them in their system and get them to forget their identity. But when the deal went down, now they wore the Babylonian clothes, they wore their shoes, went to their party, but when the deal went down and they wanted them to bow down and worship this golden image, they said, we're not doing that. They said, well, if you don't do it, we're going to put you in the electric chair. Now, I'm just saying that today. We're going to kill you. But they didn't do it. And what Satan did is he had Nebuchadnezzar to heat the fire up seven times hotter than normal. My point to you is this. All kinds of forces are assisting the unsaved. The forces are assisting them. Look, folks. Let me just read one more scripture here and we'll go to something. Look at verse 30. And he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my what indeed? Disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? Free. And they answered him, we be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How said thou, we shall be made free? Now understand, they were in bondage and didn't know it. See, you take the average religious person and tell them that they need to get to know Christ. They say, oh, I know God. I know God down there. He lived down there in the project. I knew when I was down there in the project. They said they know God. Now, my point to you is in their minds, they might think they do know God. You know, I mean, I had a problem. I'm thinking I'm all right until all hell broke loose. And then I'm finding out, man, something's wrong here. So you can be deceived and not know it. And he said he was talking about freedom. And when are you really free? You're really free when you no longer can be controlled by your circumstances or your adversaries. You no longer, now you're getting free. Now there is nobody that can stop me. Come on now. See, if you think that there is a racial barrier that can keep you from success, you have been deceived.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Put the scripture up there. Put up Joshua. And chapter 1 and verse 5, please. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5. There shall no man be able to stand before Bill Winston all the days of his life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with Bill Winston. I will not fail him, nor will I forsake him. Put another one up there. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Now thanks be to God, which always causes Bill Winston to triumph in Christ. Put another one up there. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. I'm only telling you the reason why you're maybe not going anywhere is because you don't have enough knowledge. See, not only do I read this word, I believe it.
Amen.
I'm sold out to it.
Amen.
Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. Well, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for Bill Winston, who can be against him? Say amen to this. There was nothing that was supposed to stop that boat from getting to the other side, and God knew the disciples had enough in them to make it go to the other side. But somewhere, something happened. Something left. They lost their identity. Something got stolen. And so Jesus had to wake up and do the job. Now, let me say something about miracles. Miracles are good. Matter of fact, God does miracles. But you were never made to live on them. Let me come over here. What did the children of Israel do for 40 years? Every day they experienced what? A miracle. That food came down from heaven just like ding, 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 dinner bell, boom. Here comes manna from heaven. Am I right about it? But did that miracle change them? No, it didn't change them. See, you're not supposed to live on miracles. If you need a miracle every day, it's because you're not doing stuff right. You were meant to live on the blessing. Come on. Miracles, you're not supposed to follow. You're not supposed to run after signs. Signs are supposed to follow you. Now, is this all right? Now, I'm going to tell you something now. I'm going to put it out there. There are people that don't want to hear it. That's all right. We're going to just let them do what they want to do. Because I'm putting this stuff out there now. I see right now that there is a force that works through certain people that try to keep the man of God oppressed. Ain't going to happen here. Because I'm free.
Hallelujah.
I said I'm free. Somebody got to give this thing to you. Say amen to that. And I'm going to give it to you. Straight with no chaser. Can you drink it? Drink down this word. Praise God.
Yes, sir, Dad.
Yes, sir. Now, so let me just go through this again. A natural man is a man or woman that is demon controlled. They're influenced by devils, and that's the way it is in their lives. Then you've got a carnal person. That's a person who's been born again, but never developed or grown up. They cannot handle faith because faith is designed for you not to have to be controlled by your senses, by your feelings. Are you following what I'm saying? As long as somebody in that realm of senses and their feelings get hurt easy and so forth, they can't walk with faith. All the enemy got to do is just slap you side the head one time, you go all to pieces. Now, my point, now he won't do that to you, praise God. But my point to you is, you can't be controlled by your circumstance or feeling. You got to be controlled by the word of God. And then the last place is a spiritual man. Now, a spiritual man is where God is taking all of us. And that's one who has gained mastery over his body, over his physical senses, and over the circumstances of this life. Say amen to that. Now, that's where God wants you, because that's where the enemy doesn't want you, and that's where God wants you for you to get victory. Now, we're not done with this yet. Let's go now to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. I told my wife, I said, baby, I got to slow down because I got to make sure they get this. Because you're going to manifest as sons of God. The whole world is waiting on you, and you're going to manifest. Say manifest.
Manifest.
All right. Now, look what it says here. Glory to God. And look at, this is, they go into the other side. Verse 41. This is Mark chapter 4, verse 41. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? You got it? Hello. Verse 1 of chapter 5. And then they came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. And he had dwellings among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Now, let's deal with this just a minute. Here is a man that they ran upon. He had chains on his hands, wrist. What do you think those chains were made of? Come on, help me.
Iron.
Did he break them?
Yes.
According to the scripture, he did, didn't he?
Yes.
Didn't he?
Yes.
How about his feet? They had shackles on them, or what did they say here? What?
Fetters.
Fetters, okay. Did he break them?
Yes.
So demon-controlled people are empowered by demons. And demons use them to hold things, to control things. Now, Jesus comes. Now, with this, the thing that I want you to see is that, glory to God, come on now. You cannot go into a strong man's house except you first bind the strong man. Your job in the earth is that every place your feet shall tread. Put up Joshua 1:3. On the screen, quickly. Joshua 1:3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, keep going, that have I given unto you, as I said to Moses. Your job is to subdue this earth. Same as Adam. And in every place God takes you, he expects you to rule it. You. Now, every place has an ite. This ite makes the man who is occupying stronger than you. Stronger than the natural you. But there is a supernatural you. Jesus said, the things that I do shall you do also. So could the disciples have stopped that storm? Now you know the storm was not from God. I'm gonna take my time, you ain't gonna rush me. The storm was not from God because Jesus rebuked it. So he wouldn't have rebuked something that was from his father. Got it? When you grow up spiritually, you can discern things. The enemy wants to keep you carnal because then he knows that you don't have the spiritual maturity to really discern what's God and what's the devil. So we're gonna grow you up through the word. But in this, when I put something out there, don't get your feelings in the way. Keep your feelings out of the way and just take what I said and just practice it when you get a chance. Just hear what I'm saying now. Stay with me. All right. Jesus spoke to the man. I'm going to kind of move on. And he said, what is your name? The man answered, the demon speaking through him. My name is who?
Legion.
Watch this. For we are what? Many. Now this is said many to back Jesus off. This demon is controlling the coast. He has territorial assignments. And his job is not to let anybody in there that Satan doesn't want in there. So you got to go somewhere that folk don't necessarily want you. You just stay with me here. Now, I'm talking warfare now. Now, get rid of all fear. Because if you don't get terrorized, Lord have mercy. Let me show you. Now, we went over the strong man of terror before. And we talked about it. We said it was the Hittite spirit. And the word Hittite, that means, comes from the root of terror. It means that the enemy will send fear to you first to terrorize you, to open you up to anything else he wants to do with you. Let's stop right here. All right, you ready? Let me give you a practical example. It's time for offering. This is one of the biggest times that in a church, the spirit of terror will move. Stay with me. Because he's got to hold the ground that he's got. And the ground that he's got in your life is to keep you in lack. All right, are you with me? So here's what the Spirit says to you. You ready? Let me put it in my own words. I dare you to tithe. I dare you to tithe. You do and you going broke. That's a spirit. The reason why he doesn't want you to get spiritual maturity, because you'll see that's a spirit. That's a spirit. Well, I tell you what, I got to do this first and pay this first and so forth. Wait a minute. Hold on. The tithe is not in that bunch. The tithe was never yours. All right? The next spirit we went over was a Hivite spirit or Hivite. What did we say that means? It means villager or deceiver. Got it? Now, what does it do? Well, all the pastor wants is your money. You got what I'm saying? Now, Jesus, listen, he had to come up against all of these. They accused him of all kinds of things. One of the folks came and said, "You are the chief of Beelzebub. You're the chief of demons." That's what they called Jesus. What do you think they might call me? Now, listen. I was trained in war. If you're looking for a punk preacher, I'm not it. I am not it. So don't come in here looking for that. I was trained in war. Shot at many days in Vietnam. But God trained me on some things over there. He's using every bit of background that I had to bring me to this. And folks, you really have to watch fear in the middle of a bad situation. Because as a fighter pilot, boy, I tell you, you listen to the radio calls of a fighter pilot. True enough, their voices may be elevated just a little bit. But in the middle of a dogfight, I mean, you'll hear him take the left turn. Okay, I've got him over the top. Just come around 6 o'clock. Okay, I've got him. All right, Genesis, Eagle 1-2, let's come over the right. All right, I got him from the top. You can see it coming down. All right, watch Tracer coming by you right now. I've got him from the left. I mean, you don't hear... Now they're shooting at them. No, you don't hear that, because that's fear and it will kill you. He's trying to put fear in your life. Folks, you're not terrorized when you get fearful. The spirit of fear was there all the time. He just surfaced. He was there all the time. See, what's happening to you while I preach is I'm rooting out that unseen spirit that has kept you in lack for 10 years. I'm rooting him out. I'm rooting him out. And the deceiver spirit will tell you, get up and get out of here. Because it knows me. It knew who Jesus was. Why? Because Jesus could discern him. Or Robert said, you couldn't move a spirit unless you discerned him. Oh no, you will never be broke another day in your life. That's it. Oh yeah. It's things that we don't know that are inside that are operating and they've been hiding and they stay that way until it's time for them to do their job. Then they surface. And that's when fear surfaces. And I want you to be without fear. Without fear. There is no fear. Are we okay? So one of the things I want to say is that the strong man has been guarding the stuff. And he's been holding back that which belongs to you. And trying to keep you from hearing the word, because hearing brings faith so that you can go over and get what belongs to you and possess what belongs to you and so forth. But this is your time. This is your season. I said, this is your season. Now, so evil points its finger at the church and dare you to challenge it. They said, I'm going to put this stuff on TV and I dare you to say anything about it. I'm going to give this music to your kids and make them play it in your house and I dare you to say anything about it. Folks, like David says, is there not a cause? Folks, when I see this stuff and I see what Babylon is trying to do, something rises up in me. I get more turned on about preaching the gospel than ever. Something rises up in me, boy. I said, these people have been deceived. And I mean, you know, just you got to believe God. I mean, you got to stay in faith. I had to stay in faith for the bank. I had to stay in faith for this building. I had to stay in faith for the business school. I had to stay in faith. I'm going on that trip here to Africa. I'm staying in faith. I'm in faith that every place we go, doors are going to be open. Demons are going to be under oppression. That we can go and preach that gospel. Say, I got to stay in faith. You don't see me on TV. Won't y'all give? It's getting to be summertime now. And man, you come on. Now, somebody got to stay in faith. Amen. All right, let's go to the last place. How y'all doing? Everybody doing all right? I would ask you, do you love me? But I ain't going to ask you that right now. Okay, last place. All right, now, hold on just a minute. I'm getting to wrap this thing up because I'm trying to get all this in here because you're not going to be broke another day in your life, man. God said, in my house are many mansions. We want to make it so. I said, we want to make it so. So now experience for you is not the best teacher. The Holy Ghost is going to be your best teacher from now on out. Say amen to that. He's going to lead you into places that the blessing is going to take over, and it's going to teach you how to do something right on the spot. Say amen to this. Now, let me just see one more thing. I want to talk to you about one more thing. Praise God in heaven. All right. Now, so, where's my other folder? Okay, just a minute. Now, turn with me, because I'm going to start here the next time, and I think I'm going to finish up with this. Let's go over to Hebrews, please. And Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. The devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. He's got your stuff and we're getting it back. I said he had your stuff and we're getting it back. This is a season of manifestation. Every business deal that you tried to close, that the enemy came in and resisted you on, but you didn't know he resisted you, right now, oh, it's coming home. It's coming back. Telling you, folks, there have been ways that the enemy has resisted us. We've not known it because we weren't operating at that level. All right, look what he says, and this is, I'm going to preach on it. Now, somebody might not like it, but I'm going to preach on it. I'm going to let it all roll, boy. If you're going to have, you want hate, I'm going to give you something to hate on. Look what it says here in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 30. For we know him that has said, what? Vengeance belongeth unto who? Me. I will what? Recompense, saith the Lord. What does the word recompense mean, somebody? What does it mean? It means to repay. That everything that Satan has stolen from you is now about to be repaid. That this particular part is now going to be manifested in Scripture. Go over there with me to Isaiah, please, and Isaiah chapter 60 first, and then 60, not 60 first, 60. 60 and then 61. Go with me to 60 first. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Praise God in heaven. I said, praise God in heaven. Look what it says here. Verse 1. Arise, shine. For thy light is come, and the glory, I said the glory of the Lord is what? Risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, that's the Gentiles, then gross darkness the people, that's the world and its system. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. I'm prophesying to you now. And the Gentiles are going to come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Now lift up your eyes round about and see, all they gather themselves together, and they come to thee. Thy son shall come from the far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side, that then thou shalt see and flow together. Somebody say flow. And thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the what? Abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. Keep going. And the forces of the who? Gentiles shall come to thee. What are forces, somebody? The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to thee. Let's come on down to Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. How many of y'all remember when Jesus said this? Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to opening up the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim what? The acceptable year of the Lord, the day of what? Vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. God is about to beautify you. You see, that's why that we had David Herzog here, and people sitting in the audience got teeth in their mouth and got some lost weight, some so forth. You see, he's going to make a fashion show out of you. Listen, nobody's going to need to lay hands on you. It's the glory of the Lord. It's the atmosphere of heaven. It's going to come to the earth. If you step into heaven, once you cross that line, is anything going to be wrong with you? No. Well, suppose we bring heaven into earth right now, and whatever's hanging on you is going to be removed. I'm telling you that we're coming into a time that the glory of God is going to be manifest in the church. You're not going to be able to get a seat in the church, because inside of this place, it's going to be teeth put in, kidneys restored, hearts reset back to 16-year-old. It's going to be hair that's replaced. It's going to be feet made whole. It's going to be legs and joints made new. Everything. And I decree it starts now. Right now. So we're going to talk about the vengeance of the Lord, that uprooting everything the enemy has put in your life is going to be uprooted. I'm talking about when Moses came out of Egypt, God had to deliver Moses, and when he delivered him, the vengeance of the Lord came. I'm saying that everything from now on that stands between you and you fulfilling your assignment in the earth is going to have to bow or be destroyed. It's going to be taken off the face of this earth. I'm saying everything that's been resisting you, your struggle is over today. There is no more struggle. That things that refuse to let you go shall be tormented day and night until they let you go. Every person that is coming against you unjustly, everything, every suit, everything that's coming against you from this day forward shall be tormented day and night until they cease. No longer will you be a laughing stock. No longer will you have to wait 1 year on something that should have happened in 1 week. This is your time. God is resetting the clock. It's a season for your deliverance. The set time is here right now. I said it's here right now. This is the day of the vengeance of the Lord. This is the Lord's hand. It's moving. And when God's hand moved in Egypt, the people on one side of his hand got cursed. The people on the other side got deliverance. I'm telling you, you're on the good side. And God is delivering you. His hand is moving in the body of Christ right now. What anybody says, you are successful. You come on now. You are a kingdom diplomat. You are a king and a priest. Folks, there are things that didn't happen until the prophet said it. I'm here to tell you, God told me to say it. I said, say it. I call for 17 millionaires out of this congregation right here. Out of those people watching me over internet, I call for 17 more millionaires. In the name, multi-millionaires, before the summer year is over. And I don't care what you think about me. This is a brand new day. This is a day of the vengeance of the Lord. I said the vengeance of the Lord. I am tired of the devil messing with people. I am tired of the enemy trying to take you and make you not be successful. He has been using spirits behind those people to try to resist you, but your days of being resisted are over. Everything now that you're going to do will... All right. Now, you got a choice. You can believe what I said, or you can go out here like an unbeliever. But I'm here to tell you this, folks. Something happened at that missions conference. There was a shift in the atmosphere. Say amen to that. Something opened in heaven. Now, things are not going to be the same in your life. I said, things are not going to be the same in your life. No more struggle. No more disappointments. Let me just say this. I keep hearing new body parts, new kidneys. A lady came up here at the end of the last service. She said, Pastor Winston, I got a testimony. I said, what is it? She said, you know, my husband or my father, whoever it was, he was in a coma. And I came up to you and asked you to pray for him. And you said you're going to speak the word over him? Because there's no distance in the spirit. I said, let me tell you what's going to happen. She said, what? I said, he'll be up in 3 days. She said, guess what, Pastor? In 3 days, he woke up. 3 days, he woke up. If you believe... Now, for this, you got to grow up. No more getting mad, feelings hurt. Forget that. Now you're a full-grown, mature believer. Now walk like it. Say amen. Give the Lord a praise. Take your seats, would you? All right. Okay. Now, whenever the devil tries to come against me, I come against him. Folks, these days of you being sad are over. Put on the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. All right. Now let me do this. We did a lot of things here today. We're not mad with people. That's not who's running the show. That demon-possessed man at the end of that encounter was delivered sitting at the feet of Jesus. Watch this. In his right mind. People who send me notes and things like that, they're not in their right mind. That's why you got to love people.
Yes, sir.
Hate evil. It's all right. I ain't mad at nobody.
Amen.
I know some things might have happened to some of y'all in the past. Get over it. I understand history, but you don't have to be mad. If you're going to get mad at something, get fed up with what the devil's doing to people. I'm so glad that God called me to preach. I'm so glad. I remember. I remember. I was in Minnesota. The Spirit of God had moved on me real heavy. I was working for IBM at that time at an apartment in Bloomington, Minnesota, right there outside of Minneapolis. I remember that night when I gave in. I remember what happened. I went to a bar. I understand I wasn't a drinker. And I went to that bar, ordered something. I'm not sure what I ordered. But I was trying to get God to leave. But it was on me so heavy.
Yes.
And I came back to my apartment. And I remember nothing was on, no TV. One light was on. And I was there on the living room floor. And I began to cry like a newborn baby. And then I remember what came out of my mouth. I said, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." That's all I said. And when I said that, something broke. And a peace came over me so much till I went to sleep right on that floor. And I got up that next morning and called this friend of mine. And he'd been in ministry a while. And I said, "Man, let me describe what happened to me last night." He said, I'm going to just tell you what he said. "Negro, you've been called." That's what he told me. I'm just telling you what he said. I'm just telling you what he said. Okay. Y'all got to know this friend. Okay. N-E-G-R-O, you know. And I said, "Is that what happened, man?" He said, "That what happened." Because I said one thing. "Here am I, Lord. Send me." You see, I saw all the devastation of people's lives. And I got to a point where I just couldn't stand it any longer. I said, "Let me in, coach. I'll go. Send me." And I'm going to tell you something. God has taken care of me every step of the way. got all my family born again, everybody. And I'm talking about, that's how good God is. But I'm possessing my inheritance. That's part of it. So I'm just letting you know that God, who started a good work in you, you can believe that He'll complete it. You don't have anything to worry about. Give the Lord a praise. Praise God. Amen. Before anybody moves, you might in your life have been religious like I was, but you weren't right. What happened to me is I got so hurting, job performance down, something was happening with my body. And one day I just cried at night and said, Lord, please help me. And He sent a dear sister by.